What's the 411, y'all? 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 What's the 411?
What's up, what's up, what's up, Baltimore? It's your boy, Jack Henty Caston, and I'm back with another episode of What's the 411, Yo? It's another great day here in Baltimore, and I would just like to remind you that there are some great places, people, things, and ideas happening right here in and about this town. Baltimore can be more than just The Wire, be more than just episodes of The Corner, and be more than just murder. While oftentimes the negativity seems to overshadow the positive, darkness must flee wherever there is light, and there are many beacons of light here in this grand city. And I am here to share all about it. I am excited and delighted to have you listening to another episode of What's the 411, Yo? In a more technologically savvy world, we are always seemingly connected to others and connected to the world. You know, we're on email, we're constantly chit-chatting on our cell phones. We're in a world in which we check our phones and emails before getting out of the bed each morning. We have to think of platforms such as Tumblr. I think there's Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, texting, there's Snapchat. YouTube and Clubhouse are constantly creating new algorithms to lock in our interests and to keep our eyes glued to the screen. Therefore, it has become increasingly necessary to be aware of reconnecting to ourselves, to our spirituality, and even to nature, because God provided nature for us to enjoy. According to Baltimore's magazine, Baltimore's churches, synagogues, and temples, the anchor institution of the historic immigrant and migrant neighborhoods, have traditionally been the places where people pray, people reflect, and take refuge. Today, many serve as venues for even 12-step programs for those who are trying to kick drug habits and addictions, soup kitchens, community closets, and gardens, in addition to regular religious services. Today's topic is sacred spaces and places here in Baltimore City. While there are many churches, synagogues, and temples, this episode will highlight some of the main attractions that I learned about in regards to preparing for this episode. Today, I will share a few places here in Baltimore City that served as a spiritual pilgrimage destination for many travelers yearly. The sacred spaces is for those who enjoy encountering themselves, for those who like to have an introspect of themselves, because you understand that there's something on the inside working on the outside, and therefore can bring about a change within your life. The sacred space that I'm about to share is for those who enjoy encounters with nature. The Frederick Douglass Tree, located at West Hill and Sharp Street, standing dignified and open-armed in Sharp Leading Hall, is an English elm believed by some to have been planted by Frederick Douglass himself, who sang in the choir, I found out, at the nearby Sharp Street Memorial United Methodist Church before he escaped from slavery in 1838. Not in doubt is that Douglass, who returned many times to the city and built a handful of row houses in Fells Point, delivered a speech in the shade of the massive tree some 40 years later. The next sacred place is the Baltimore Basilica. The first place in the English-speaking world that had religious freedom by law was Maryland, said Cardinal William H. Keeler, former Baltimore Archbishop during the Basilica's restoration several years ago. The Baltimore Basilica is considered one of the most precious properties of the Catholic Church in the United States of America. The Baltimore Basilica is located at 409 Cathedral Street. Sitting in the light that fills the Baltimore Basilica each afternoon is an experience unlike that any other church in the city. Considered architect Benjamin Latrobe's masterpiece, the first Roman Catholic cathedral in the United States is a sharp contrast to the chambered, darker Gothic cathedrals of European tradition. The 69-foot main domes, 24 skylights, and the church's towering side windows, no stained glass here, bask the entire sanctuary in a feeling of openness and warmth. Lastly, but certainly not least, is the memorial pool at Shop Road in Druid Hill Park. Among the large trees, gazebos, and scenic lake views in Druid Hill Park lies a burial site of sorts. This sacred ground is an art installation created by world-renowned artist Joyce Scott, who memorialized what was once Pool Number 2, built in 1921 as the only public city pool open to African Americans. By the summer of 1956, all city pools became integrated, and the following year, Pool Number 2 closed permanently and lay dormant until its transformation under Scott's hand in 1999. Today, it serves as a necessary reminder and a place for reflection of a once shameful past that has, over the years, gotten so much better. On next week's episode, we will highlight the workings and hear the ideas of Miss Ashley Winkie. Ashley Winkie is a Baltimore believer and lover of the Most High. She is currently an educator in the city and serves part-time as an administrative assistant at the St. Joseph Free Will Baptist Church, located in the heart of East Baltimore. St. Joseph Free Will Baptist Church has been in existence for 97 years and started as just a mere prayer service in the living room of the Lamberts. From that, prayer service became an institution that will last and have a cornerstone for 97 years. St. Joseph, also affectionately known as St. Joe, is still providing a sacred place and space for people to come together to fellowship and to humbly serve the Eastside community in which it resides. I am looking forward to the conversations next week as we continue to explore sacred spaces and places in good Baltimore City. Bouquet already. I'm JT Caston, and I hope you have enjoyed this episode of What's the 4-1 Yo. Peace.
What's the 4-1 Yo? What's the 4-1 Yo? What's the 4-1 Yo?